You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Sixteen teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again, or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I don't know if people want this or not, but right before we turned the microphones on, for some reason, the crew was laughing about Action Jackson and wanting to talk about Action Jackson, but we have not yet talked about the fact that Simon Phoenix is making a return. Do you have a desire? I don't even know if Amin knows this. Are you aware, Amin, that Wesley Snipes is making a return as Simon Phoenix? You guys have told me that he is a Hall of Fame villain and that Demolition Man is a Hall of Fame action movie. So you guys must be here. And I mean, you've got this, you love terrible movies, and this is a wonderful, terrible movie. It is in the pantheon of the most wonderful of terrible movies. You do a podcast on ridiculous movies. This is the height of ridiculous on a movie, and it's wonderful. You're here or not here for Simon Phoenix's return?
Dan, when I heard about Demolition Man 2, I thought of the great Lenny Wilkins, who went into the Hall of Fame as a player and then went into the Hall of Fame as a coach. And I said, Demolition Man, two-time Hall of Famer, I'm ready for it.
Two-time Hall of Famer? You've got you're making Demolition Man Lenny Wilkins? Lenny Wilkins as a basketball player, as a seminal name in the history of the sport.
I'm assuming Simon Phoenix is coming back as some sort of coach. Is that right? Like a Yoda, I guess, right? What?
Yeah, you gotta have him in a mentorship role, right? We saw this with Creed, Stugatz, right? No one wants to watch Rocky fight anymore. They want to see Rocky be a mentor. Same thing here. Simon Phoenix is going to raise the next level of supervillain for Demolition Man 2. Who's his mentee going to be? Will it be Michael B. Jordan?
Roy, you're shaking your head no, Roy. You're despondent. I don't think Chris and Billy know the movie we're talking about. Is it, Chris? You have no idea the movie we're talking about. You don't know Simon Phoenix, correct?
I've heard of Wesley Snipes.
Chris, that's your contribution to the show today. This is today. I haven't heard from you in 2 hours except saying you like a jacked quarterback, and then you limp in titties first that way. You're back and you're leaning back in your chair. You're doing a whole lot of nothing during the show, and then you lean in to tell us that you have no idea who Hall of Famer Simon Phoenix is.
That's right.
Billy, do you know who Simon Phoenix is?
No, I'm looking at Google, and wasn't this a punishment that someone had to do for the bucket of death 1 year, I think?
Yes, me.
Someone.
I mean, how much of you're making it Lenny Wilkins, and these guys, they've heard of Lenny Wilkins. Billy, Chris, you've heard of Lenny Wilkins, or have you not heard of Lenny Wilkins either?
Yes.
Heard of him, Dan. Heard of him.
Very did they familiar. Know that Lenny? Did you know that Lenny Wilkins was a player?
Yes. Ooh. I know everything we're talking about today.
Amin, what did you make of the conversation I was trying to have with you before about the new age commentator, the thing that Dragonfly Jones is pointing out, a bunch of young people out there who are hating on the game by having to be intellectually superior in their understanding of the game, while Kevin Durant says, who the bleep wants to look at graphs when having a hoops conversation?
Dan, this is, I'll put it to you like this, right? I understand the sentiment that people are upset about. It's like, just enjoy the dunk. Why you got to analyze everything? But I know the guy who everyone's drawing the ire to, it's Nate Duncan. And to complain that Nate Duncan was cold and emotionless in watching a basketball game is like to complain that, you know, CNBC does too much business talk. Can we get some more sports and comedy on this channel? That's what he does. That's what his feed is. That's how he analyzes the game. He's very good at it, by the way. And the irony of all ironies is one of the players who really enjoyed one-on-one conversations with Nate Duncan was Kevin Durant in Golden State. He enjoyed hoops conversations with Nate Duncan. Very smart guy, very talented, but he's not like the rest of Twitter. Oh my God. Oh, in your face. Like, he's not one of those people. He's never been that. So if you follow his account, you already knew that. And you knew what he's there for is kind of the gritty conversation about basketball, the actual X's and O's, and not, oh, he put his nuts on his chin.
This is the reason I want to have the conversation with you, though, as we're talking about Simon Phoenix and these guys not knowing that Lenny Wilkins was a player, or that just not understanding that portion of what the basketball library is. This conversation around the analysis of basketball, I mean, has very much gone from a bunch of people in the 80s or 90s or even 2000s who were talking about basketball and criticizing and character smearing Allen Iverson because you can't win that way with that style of ball. But it wasn't talking about usage rate, and it wasn't even talking back then about field goal percentage. It was talking about this guy's selfish, he's an asshole, he's a jerk, he's got a bandana, he's a bad style for the league. And so it was a very primitive sort of basketball conversation. It's now evolved to a place where back then it was, oh, these guys only care about their highlights. They only care about getting on SportsCenter. But what Anthony Edwards did as a dunk is one of the most vicious things we've ever seen from a dunker, period. But he was also 3-for-14, 0-for-7 from 3, scored 7 points in the game. And while Dwayne Wade is saying that he reminds me of me, that's a shit game for a shit team that scored 81 points that night. And so how do we talk about this stuff now? Of course we can all enjoy that dunk. And we can also say, I can ask you, an expert, what's Anthony Edwards going to be because he can dunk like that?
Yeah, no, it's part of it is the internet mob mentality, right? The idea that if one person gets on this kind of track, then we're all going to jump on a track with him, right? So he had a dunk, and everyone's rushing, and most of all, the big official Twitter accounts for these media companies, ESPN, Bleacher Report, et cetera, et cetera. How can I post a picture or video of this dunk with enough emojis that makes, I guess, 12-year-olds titillate, right? Is it, oh, do I go with the mind-blown emoji? Do I go with the big eye emoji? Do I go with a laughing, rolling emoji? That's all they care about, right? Which is fine.
It's so cheap. It's so cheap.
Of course, but that's what they'll do. The reality is, the greatness of the internet, of social media, of all these things, is that you have different feeds. If you want that, oh, snap, there's a feed for that. If you want, hey, by the way, 3-for-14, 0-for-7, probably not going to be one of the best number one overall picks of all time. That with LaMelo Ball and Wiseman and a couple other players looking a lot better than he is. There's a feed for that too. And they can all happily coexist. It reminds me of the point in Ozark where they open up the credit in the casino, spoiler alert, and the loan sharking guy says, my customers don't have credit, so we can both peacefully coexist. This is the same here. Why can't Nate Duncan say, yeah, he had a garbage game? Why does that bother you, consumer of highlights and fun dunks? It shouldn't bother you at all.
The weird thing about Durant lamenting this move towards the numbers is that he is currently playing in a basketball era yeah. that is the manifestation of numbers, that is the manifestation of analytics effects on the game. The Brooklyn Nets average 37 three-point attempts per game. That's ninth in the NBA. This entire game has been affected by an analytical movement that is entirely numbers-driven, the exact kind of thing that he's complaining about.
And the best part of that, to me, I mean, is him complaining about analytics as the analytics love him almost more than any player ever. He doesn't want to talk about charts when those charts show. Good God, Durant, you are one of the best people at this we've ever seen.
I'm starting to like KD. He just wants to watch dunks.
I mean, I don't think you're right, though. I don't think those things can happily coexist. They can coexist, but not happily. You've got the happily all wrong. They cannot coexist happily. They could coexist peacefully. The people in Ozark are not coexisting happily. They are coexisting peacefully. These two sections of analyzing basketball can absolutely not coexist without going to war.
I totally agree. No, I mean, I agree with him, because when you're 9 of 40 over your last three games admiring a dunk, okay, do me a favor. Play better, shoot better, better percentages. You're the number one overall pick. Don't start admiring your dunks until you're shooting over 50% from the field. How about that?
Old man take.
16 teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again? Or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous. And if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought three for my wife, daughter, and myself for game one. I live it. Because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there. And I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
So one of the reasons, and I know many of you are very critical because you don't think we should have a relationship with David Sampson, or you find him unlikable and you don't like our explanations about him being a content machine. But the reason that David Sampson, more than any other, is on with us every week is because it's just super rare to get unvarnished looks at the dark shadows where the business of sports reside. There is a separation. The media can get as close as the athletes, but these owners, they live in the shadows, and they with these bankers, and they're behind walls, and you just don't get good looks at them. And the journalism isn't strong enough sometimes to get good looks at these people who work in the shadows. So the Seattle Times is reporting now on something that's happened with the Mariners CEO, Kevin Mather, I believe his name is. I don't know this person. I just know that he was on a Zoom call and he was talking to a group of people, and he was talking in an unvarnished way that was problematic, but also allowed you a super honest look that you don't normally get at these kinds of people. So we wanted to go out to Ryan Divish and bring him in from the Seattle Times because he's been reporting on this story. And there's a lot of problematic stuff in the story, and it's stuff that you just don't see from these executives very often. So Ryan, thank you for being on with us. You've been listening to what it is I've been saying. What am I missing? What parts of this story are not true when I say, man, this is not something you get to see very often, a CEO behaving badly in a way that can't be apologized for and can't be unseen? And thank you for joining us, by the way. Thank you for making the time to do so.
Oh, not a problem. I appreciate it. Yeah, there's you kind of hit it on the head, although with Kevin Mather, he's managed to behave badly in the past and still managed to keep his job. You're right about what they said. These guys, they live in a world that we don't probably get, and it's a different world where you look at owners and you want to sit there and think that they all are believe that they love their players, and these presidents think of players as people and all these other things, and it just isn't true. It's cold, it's cutthroat, it's ruthless. This is business. This is how these guys got there, And Kevin Mather just managed to do that and prove to people a lot of things that were said. He said that what's crazy about this video that popped up, and he was speaking to a group in Bellevue, Washington, the Bellevue Breakfast Rotary Club. And I don't know about you guys, those Rotarians, you know, most of them are in their 60s. They're not exactly a wild group. But he got on there, and I guess he thought that maybe he could kind of speak a little freely and off the record. And it was recorded, and we're on a Zoom call now, and you can see the recording thing in the corner. And I don't know how I didn't think that wasn't going to pop up. So he did this interview on February 5th, and then it pops up. The Rotary Club uploaded it to YouTube on February 19th. Some Mariners fans saw it and made people aware. And you go and listen to it, and he talks about players and service time and manipulation and, you know, veiled kind of racist comments about interpreters and Latin players. And you think to yourself, like, this guy's an idiot. Why would you do that? You know, but at the same time, I've covered him long enough to know that he has no filter. He's this guy from Wisconsin, and he likes to drink his beer and just kind of speak straight. And the times I've written about stuff about the Mariners, including all their dysfunction, and these guys are edging towards the Cleveland Browns of Major League Baseball, he would say things on the record that I was stunned. I was frankly stunned by. And that's it. So when all this kind of went down yesterday, I wasn't surprised. And honestly, like when I found out kind of the context of how he was saying these things and what where it was happening, I wasn't surprised that a lot of this stuff came out.
The stuff with the interpreters to me made me flash. It bothered me because I've been hearing a lot in sports with a lot of Cuban players when they come over, El Duque, the smearing of them by people like this who behave this way in private but never get seen. And then you have this pretty overt racism. Now, I don't want to speak for you, Ryan, but you tell the audience. I don't know what was the most problematic part for you of everything that he said, and I don't know how much judgment you can apply to this because you're a reporter and you're aspiring to be objective. But this, the story with the interpreter bothered me, and I can't imagine that it wouldn't have bothered you too.
Oh yeah, it bothered me immensely. Larry Stone, our longtime columnist, and I were talking about it, and he said the more he went back and listened, the more angry he got listening to these things. So the interpreter stuff, you know, full disclosure, my mom's Japanese, and so I've been around the Japanese players, and he talks about not wanting to pay an interpreter $75,000 a year for Hisashi Iwakuma, one of the best Japanese pitchers they've ever had, a guy that took less money to stay with this organization on different occasions. And I'm thinking to myself, if the Miami Marlins were sold for $1.1 billion, the Seattle Mariners own their own RSN. They have a plush stadium. They have everything. Their regional sports network encompasses 5 states. A lot of people value the franchise at $2.5 billion. And you're complaining about $75,000. Also, this organization is notoriously cheap in how it pays people. This is also an organization that paid Sean Figgins $9 million not to play for them. They're still paying off Robinson Cano's contract. So he's sitting there complaining about that. And then he says, oh, all of a sudden Iwakuma knows how to speak English. Well, we tell him he can't have a translator. Actually, Iwakuma doesn't know how to speak English that well. It's a very different thing. And then I think even more galling, their top prospect, according to Baseball America, is a kid named Julio Rodriguez. He's 19 years old. He's out of the Dominican Republic. He is absolutely just just bubbly, you know, outgoing kid. And he is kind of the example that this organization wants to set for everybody in terms of, like, they have an academy down in the Dominican Republic they built. It's really fancy. They have a whole high school in there for these kids, because a lot of these Latin kids, you know, they sign at 16 and they just walk away from whatever they're doing to become full-time baseball players. So they have an academy down there where they have a high school, they teach English, they get high school diplomas and all these things. And Kevin Mather, and the first thing he says about Julio Rodriguez, well, he's really loud and he's got a personality bigger than yours. He's really loud. He doesn't speak English. His English is not tremendous. Actually, Julio Rodriguez's English is tremendous. He's 19. He learned all this stuff. They have a video. They do an online kind of video show with him interviewing his teammates where he's talking perfectly fine. He's demanded to do interviews in English since he was 17 in the organization. And the president comes out and talks about the single most important player in your organization and demeans the kid by saying his English is not tremendous when the kid took great pride in learning how to speak English. It's just so naive and so unaware and obtuse. I mean, like, all these things just speak to these guys, these old middle-aged white guys that sit up there and don't have any concept of the players that they're talking about, or actually interacting with the players on a level that they are real people. You know, again, like we talked about, with some of my friends, they treat them like widgets. It's not like real people. They're entities that help them make money, and that's honestly, that's how Kevin Mathers maintained his employment. Is that I was watching Casino the other night, because if it's on, I'll watch it. And as Nicky Santoro says, he's a tremendous earner. Kevin Mather earns money for this team. As president, he's moved up from vice president. He's earned money. And along the way, he's had 3 complaints of workplace misconduct from women throughout the time, and he's managed to stay employed. Why? Because he earns this company or this organization money. And that's the bottom line. That's why I don't even know if he's going to be fired, honestly. I mean, if you're the Mariners, they should have fired him last night.
Well, this is why I want to talk about this with you. There are a number of interesting things in this story, and maybe we will get to some of them. But I don't want this story to just vanish, because it's got a lot of elements here that are interesting. And this particular person needs to be smoked out for these viewpoints. This can't be a regional story, because there is some culture smearing that he's doing here that is offensive after the summer that we have just had. And Asian Americans are underrepresented, under index in these media markets. So this is an offensive story, and I don't want it to stay in the shadows, but I need to stop you for a second. Guillermo, put this on the poll, please, at Levitard Show, because you've never spoken a greater truth than, do you stop on Casino every time and watch it? Can you ever not help yourself? Yes or no? Put that on the poll. But the thing that I wanted to talk to you about, Ryan, is the idea of, this might be the one team and one controversy, because of the relationships with Asian Americans, where you might actually have the representation to get someone in power fired, because this is not okay with the media members and the customer base, because of that team's particular links over the last 20 years to Asia, through Ichiro. Because I don't have my history wrong, right? Ichiro sort of made the Seattle Mariners organization into what it was in the realm of, you know, after A-Rod and Ken Griffey Jr. and then the ownership of the Asian group as well. You don't think Asian Americans can get this guy fired because this particular fan base will not tolerate this?
I would hope so. I would think that they should. You're right. There is a massive link to Japan. Hiroshi Yamauchi of the Nintendo company owned the Mariners. He helped save the Mariners and get Safeco Field built. All these things were there. They sold the team to John Stanton a couple of years ago, but they are still a minority ownership group, you know, Nintendo of America. So there is a link there. And yeah, we're writing a story for our season preview about who is the next face of the Mariners. The last two faces of the Mariners were Ichiro Suzuki and Felix Hernandez, Japanese, Venezuelan. I mean, you know, and this guy goes and insults both groups of players. And I just think to myself, like, how do you go into a clubhouse tomorrow? The Mariners have a left-handed pitcher named Yusei Kikuchi, who grew up worshiping Ichiro. And he has an interpreter that follows him. And again, like, I want to make it clear too, like, these Japanese interpreters that they have, they don't just speak with the media, interpret for the media, or even for the coaches. These guys are like assistants that help them with life the whole time. These guys are coming over. They're not kids. They're coming over 30 years old and trying to do this stuff and like adapt to a culture. And that's what these people help them do. It's not just, I mean, honestly, the $75,000 is probably, they deserve more. They're away from their families. They're basically following like a valet through this whole life. And you're complaining about that?
Ryan, Ryan, but it's not, you, I don't know how stunned you can be just given what you were saying about knowing this guy a little bit, but you haven't spoken a greater truth outside of the Casino one when you say that the thing that's jarring about seeing that YouTube speech is how very not human these people are, who are his employees. They are commodities. You mentioned widgets. that this, you can't have that be the thing in sports atop your organization just because it makes you money after the summer we just went through. But you might be able to get away with it because Asian Americans can be more, can be smeared more easily in this country at this point than even Hispanics and Blacks. That you're just, I don't know how this guy gets toppled, but this can't be in 2021. It just can't be.
No, it would be unbelievably stupid for the Mariners to continue this way. And I don't know how it works. Is it going to be blowback from fans and continued push on social media? Or is it major sponsors like Alaska Airlines, Emerald Queen Casino, which is one of the major casinos here? If they start pulling out sponsorship dollars, does that force it? Honestly, and I tweeted this last night, when it comes to things like this, the Mariners never make the practical or logical decision at the practical or logical time. They just don't. And it's indicative of this organization and how they run things. It's why they have been so bad as an organization. And you know, if you're a fan, you know, it's like earlier this year, they were talking about not spending money on this team after having one of the lowest payrolls and one of the richest ownership groups, but they were doing this rebuild and they didn't want to spend this year because they were trying to manipulate the free agent market. And you've heard owners talk about being in debt and the fear of taking on debt. And I'm thinking to myself, 90% of this country lives in a constant state of debt at all times. They do, and they operate on it. And yet, even in that state of debt, they're still willing to pay overpriced tickets, overpriced beers, overpriced parking to see a product that isn't even commensurate with MLB standards. And they do that because they care about this stuff probably more than the ownership cares about making money.
Ryan, I have the guy that could topple him, Ichiro, because I'm serious here. If he led the way with some former players speaking about how poorly this organization is run,
he would never.
How bad of a person this president is. If Ichiro can get behind this or get in front of this and get a lot of people behind him, I think we can get this guy fired.
Ryan, he would never. First of all, I don't know why you're rushing in to try and get someone fired. Actually, I do know. That's what you always
love to do.
That is what you always do. Yes, you love to. Please don't join my army on this particular conversation.
It's a good idea, though.
Yeah,
eat your own.
Yeah, it is. But he would never. This is an interesting cultural sort of stereotype, but Ichiro would never bring that indignity. What kind of controversy is Ichiro ever going to have? He doesn't do that stuff publicly.
No, he really doesn't. And he's very, it's one thing, like I'd never been to Japan and the Mariners went to Japan last year and seeing that culture up close and then understanding how my grandparents operated, I really understood it. And I don't know that he would do that. But you're right. He has the power to make a change because the Mariners right now, they don't have superstar power within the organization. You know, you don't have a Clayton Kershaw that walks out and says, hey, well, this has to be different, you know, and they, so, you know, their best player is named Marco Gonzalez. He's just a guy that is, you know, just starting to assert himself. They have a lot of young players. Kyle Seager, their best player and their only all-star, Kevin Mather called him overpaid. And I want to say you helped approve the contract and you called him overpaid on the podcast as well. So I don't see Ichiro doing it. He does have the power. He's actually a coach. He's here in Arizona right now with the team getting ready for spring training. He's a coach. He's within the organization. Asashi Iwakuma, the guy Mather complained about, is a coach here. I guess maybe if the players kind of walked out on this or did something or took a stand, but I don't know that they have the players that they have the cachet to do that. Although, other than Ichiro, I just don't know, because Felix Hernandez is not in this organization anymore. And all the stars, I mean, Griffey has kind of distanced himself a little bit at times from this organization and this ownership group, though he's still technically a member of the front office.
But
as
is this the responsibility? Like, look, I understand.
Well, it should be the team's responsibility.
Well, but let's backtrack here for a second, right? Because not unlike the Kaepernick situation, like, whose responsibility is this? Is it the Asian's responsibility to call for a guy to be fired because he was anti-Asian in a way that's not acceptable? Or do you need some more? So, or does it have to be the athlete? Like, who else? If I were to ask you, Ryan, if someone were to lead a cause on This needs to get more attention. It needs to be a national story. What this guy said is not okay. The way he treats players. I understand it's nuanced and complicated because he's giving a, you know, a breakfast speech in which he's giving an hour look into, oh, this is all cold, man. This is just another hedge fund guy who doesn't have to be appropriate, who can drink whatever he wants and shoot his mouth off. And he'll always keep a job because he'll keep labor cheap, even if that labor is minority. And even if he's slurring that labor when he's talking to breakfast clubs and he's a little too loose with his language. Like, it's not okay. Who can come out and be an advocate that smokes out this guy so that he has on top of him a weight and a pressure that tells America this isn't all right that this guy is sitting here talking about translators who are basically servants? I feel like, Ryan, maybe it's evolved since I've known it, but I remember what those guys did. They come over here and they uproot their entire life and they become this all-purpose valet and life coach for these guys. To complain about $75,000 with somebody who's helping you through a cultural shift that swallowed Hideki, who was it? Was it Rabu? Who was the guy known as the fat toad?
Rabu.
Swallowed it. Like, we practically killed that guy because of how hard that transition is. To complain about $75,000 to help those guys transition to a new life when that's what you get out of those arms? Like, they're not that disposable. This guy is vastly more disposable than the people he's not treating humanely here.
Oh, I agree completely. And I don't know who should take the step forward. I would think people within the organization. He is not well liked by his employees. Maybe employees take a step forward. The players as well. I think it has to be a collective. I don't know the one person. And Dan, it's stupid that we even have to sit there and say who has to take a step forward. John Stanton, the chairman of the Mariners, the owner, who has been a longtime businessman, who's friends with the Nordstrom family, he's friends with the Costco family, all the people that run those things, he's on multiple boards at Microsoft, they should take the step forward and say, he should take the step forward and say, this is done. We're not doing this anymore. This is done. This is not part of our culture. That anybody else should have to step forward speaks to how messed up the thinking is. And it's weird. I was talking with my friends and I was wondering how many other organizations would do the same thing, because so many of these guys think exactly like Kevin Mather. They just do. I mean, like the manipulation of how the players make money and what they believe about him, how he talked about free agency, all these guys. I just, you know, there's always been this gap about the idea that MLB ownership and its leadership treat players like commodities, as you said. And we've always understood that that's really the case, but he's given them a name and a face and a team that truly does it this way. And how do you have that perception going forward? The Mariners think they're going to make this big push in free agency next year. Who the hell wants to sign with them? How does he go into the clubhouse and talk to these players and talk to these guys about contract extensions or any of that stuff when they know what was said? I mean, like, I just don't see how you move forward with this logically and feel like you're, as a team or an organization, this represents what you want. I mean, his apology yesterday, he comes out and says that, my views and comments do not reflect the Mariners leadership and the Mariners organization on our path. You're the president. If your comments don't reflect what the Mariners do, whose does? This is so stupid.
Ryan, you're emotional and you're angry and you have every right to be. So I think
he's neither of those things.
I can hear it. He's passionate.
I did not hear.
I was setting
Ryan,
something up.
Ryan,
there.
I did not hear emotion or anger from you. You seem enormously reasonable.
I'm going to go back to the stream, watch the first 20 minutes of Casino, fast forward and watch.
I don't think Stugatz was listening to you. He just wants to get behind a firing. He doesn't. He just wants to thunder in. And yes, we can get someone fired. Dan's doing it now too. Let me get in here.
Yes, we finally arrived where everyone wants to get someone fired. I am in heaven right now. Ryan, you get in front of this, okay? And we will get behind you.
Quit
and together,
putting Asians in front of this. You get in front of it. Why don't you listen to the last 20 minutes? You get in front of it.
Ryan, if I get in front of this, will you get right behind me?
You're like the bad general in a war sending all the infantry troops in. Go ahead, jump in there first. I'll be okay.
Casual racism.
Fine. Me and Jay Buhner, we're going to get ahead of this. You're going to get behind me. Dan's going to get behind you. Amin's going to get behind Dan, and Billy's going to get behind all of us.
Are we doing this together, can you help me? Because Billy's saluting right now.
Yes!
And I'm mortified by everything Stugatz is doing right
now. Stop talking.
It's just this
conversation. I'm mortified of being behind Dan.
Yeah.
As you should. I put you in a bad spot.
Ryan, can you tell us what else about this phone call or this Zoom was objectionable to you? Because we're addressing just one portion of it, or two portions, I guess, just the macro, which is hard to talk about, which is just how cold this person was about humanity and decency. But what else was in there that you found, or that Mariners found, Mariners fans found objectionable?
Yeah, I obviously the xenophobic sort of comments about the interpreters, and then some other comments just about Latin players. He talked about Latin players in the past. And not understanding English well enough and not understanding how a $30 per diem works. And then he sat there and said, well, you know, this is why they get in trouble. And I'm thinking, in trouble for what? You know, it's, he kind of just kind of inferred that they would get in trouble with the law and stuff like that, which is beyond stupid. Again, there are plenty of white players that get in trouble with the law. I mean, this is an organization that has managed to pick up several players that have had past run-ins with the law and seem to overlook it. I found that, you know, the Major League Players Union is going to find offensive is that he started talking about manipulating their prospects' service time. He mentions the word service time, and that has been a big grievance about how the owners try and keep these guys making as few dollars as possible for as long as possible with some of their top talent. You look at George Springer with the Astros, these guys that end up being free agents at 32 when they probably should have been free agents at 29 because the organization keeps them in the minor leagues. He kind of mentioned that they're not going to move some of these guys up right away. And he mentions the word service time. And this is a year where MLB is going in and the Players Association, they're going into a collective bargaining agreement this year. The CBA is up after this season. I can't think of any reason there won't be a work stoppage given what we've seen from these two entities over the last, I don't know, three or four years, the bickering. So he's added that. I mean, I already had two agents call me or text me right away saying we need to talk about these things that Mather said, because he's talking directly about their clients and the contract process. And I mean, how he talked about free agents and how they're going to manipulate and how these guys are overpaid. I just think if you're the Mariners fans, they don't want to hear about how you do these things and how cheap you're being or how ruthless you're being. They just want you to win. This is an organization that hasn't been to the playoffs since 2001. No North American professional team has a longer playoff drought right now currently than the Seattle Mariners. And it's not going to end this year or next year either.
Ryan, thanks for being on with us. Appreciate you casting some light on this story. If you want to know some more, you could go to the Seattle Times. You will find more information. It's interesting. It's well reported. And you've got a series of pieces, I imagine, coming out on this, because this has a lot of tentacles. Business rarely, the dirty laundry rarely gets this aired out this cleanly where everyone can see it. And it's I imagine this is going to be content for you for a while.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of situations like this, more and more reports of people or how he's acted to other people are going to come out. I mean, I had somebody email me a Zoom call he did with a sports journalism class where several of the women were offended by things he said. I haven't got a view yet. I just got it today. So I think the longer this stays out there and the longer he remains employed, I think more people are going to come forward with some of the issues that this guy has had or some of the things he said and kind of move on from there. I mean, the Mariners are releasing a statement today at some point. I don't think he'll be fired. I could be wrong, but right now, if they hadn't fired him now, they're not going to. And it'll be pretty interesting to see the reaction, because I think it'll be very negative towards an organization that has no benefit of the doubt in the area anymore.
All right, Ryan, let's talk tomorrow again about your reporting, whatever it is that becomes fresh, or later in the week. Let's talk again about this. I don't want this story to just disappear. I want people to continue to see how many tentacles it has, because people need to understand that this is the dirty, dirty part of the business right here and how some systemic shit ends up happening, because this guy doesn't deserve to go running right back into the shadows where he can count his money, because he's doing some stuff here that has been at the top of baseball for too long, and it needs to stop, because they really are using these bodies from all over the country that they're squeezing with financial manipulations and everything else so this guy can stay atop an organization as a commodities broker.
I'm glad you're with me, Dan.
Thank you, Stugatz. You can get out of here. Ryan, I appreciate it. Stugatz, thanks for nothing. Bring me somebody else here who could talk about this in a way that's intelligent, please.
Thanks, guys.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.